you so much. I've been singing that song this week. Thank you. Your Bibles today, Lamentations. Lamentations, as we close the service today, I'll talk to you about a couple books in the bookstore that you're going to want to pick up today. A real special in there. And then I want to remind you once again, 6 o'clock tonight, teenagers, I know you're in choir and all these other things, but tonight I'm going to invite you about 5:45, 5:40, just every Sunday now from here to youth conference. Just come and begin to kneel for 5, 10, 15 minutes right down here. No one will lead you in it. Just come and kneel and fill this place up with prayer. And God will do something very, very special at youth conference this year. Lamentations follows Jeremiah. It's a hard, difficult book to find in my Bible. While we're in chapter 3, it's page 836. I don't know what, that's a Scofield Bible. Just go Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. You'll see it. It's sort of just tucked in there, 5 little chapters. And if you'll just hold it there, we will get to that text in a few moments. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I love these people. I'm so thankful that I get to be their pastor. I thank you for our guests that are here today, our friends that are watching in over 100 countries of the world right now, this service. I pray that you do a mighty work in our midst today. God, I'm so burdened for this subject that's before us. It's our only hope, and it needs to happen quickly before it's too late. Begin to work on the hearts of people in this room, particularly. God, may we have an ear to hear. May we have a heart that's soft. And I pray that they would recognize with me the urgency of the hour. In Jesus' name, amen. I truly believe that revival is the only hope we have. As Christians, in our marriages, for our homes, our children, our family, and for our church. I was preaching a revival meeting. I would preach every year or every other year in Walkertown, North Carolina. This building is designed after that building. Brother Bobby Robertson, the pastor, just went home to be with the Lord. He passed there 62 years. I was preaching a revival there several years ago. He maybe was in his late 70s. He's probably the greatest man of God. You just, as a preacher, all those years, I don't know anybody that stayed 62 years. Big building, big ministry. And he said to his people, the man that desperately needs revival in this church is Bobby Robertson. And I thought, if that's true, I'm in bad trouble. I feel like I'm not worthy to touch the hem of his garment. I'm speaking today on revival as our only hope. I see our country falling apart. I see the anger and the disrespect for one another, the unkindness and the harshness toward people. I see the lying, and you do too, and the arrogance and the pride, the hardness, the self-will, the worldliness of God's people, sin that's invaded our lives. And revival is needed. Revival is a recognition of sin, a repentance of that sin, and a renewed desire to serve God, a recognition. I'm not asking you to figure out, sir, the sin in your wife's life. I'm not asking you, lady, to figure out the sin in your husband's life. And it may be glaring, and it may be more glaring than yours. I'm asking you to consider your sin. I've preached this so much to myself this week. Revival is a daily experience. It just doesn't happen once. Revival is housed, and here's my thought today, it's housed in the vehicle of brokenness. And when God will truly break us, we can be recipients of revival, because when we're broken, we begin to acknowledge before God my sin, my pride, my self-will, my covering of sin, my bitterness, my arrogancy, my pride. You say, well, good, Pastor, finally, he is. How about you? You're not going to find me slinging dirt at anyone else's sin, because I've got so much to take care of my own life. I've got so much to keep my life in check. And God will say, he'll show us, we'll see it today, he will break us and allow us to be broken. And that is always for a purpose. It might be financial brokenness. It might be sin. It might be a divorce. It might be drugs. It might be drink. And God can use those, though he's not suggesting we go ahead and get drunk. God can bring us down to the very lowest, as water seeks its lowest level. God can bring us low so we can go up. He brought Jonah low to raise him up, to preach, as far as we know, the largest and most amazing revival in world history. When a Christian is broken, but a Christian is broken before God, he desires nothing else but God. The things of this earth will begin to grow strangely dim. When a person is broken over himself, sports doesn't mean very much. And I'm not suggesting you cannot follow sports. God wants to constantly, it's a constant issue. Sports is not your priority. When sports is your priority, where's God? When you're broken before God, food is not your priority. You lose your appetite when you see your own condition. And you fall in the mercy of God and say, oh God, please, God, deal with me, not my brother or my sister, but God, it's me. When we're broken before God, play is not the issue of the day. Money is not the issue of the day. Position is not the issue of the day. Self-will and rivalry does not mean I don't care. Selfishness is not the issue of the day. Revival is our only hope, and revival comes through brokenness, and brokenness is painful, and brokenness is humility, but it's necessary for revival. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. He wept over his people. He wept about his own life, his condition. And he gets to these five little chapters in Lamentations as he writes how he laments and he's broken. My Bible, some years ago, I wrote of chapter 3, a broken man. I want you to see this broken man, because he was so broken, he wanted God. What is it that's paramount in your life? What has captured your thinking? It's probably something that will mean nothing tomorrow, or nothing next year, or nothing 10 years from now. But friend, when it's God, he'll mean everything 10 years from now. The broken man writes, I'm a man that hath seen affliction. By the rod of his wrath, he hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me he has turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh, my skin, he hath made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. Can't even get a hold of God. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, as a lion in the secret places. He turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was in derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. Thou hast removed my soul far from peace. I forgot prosperity. I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, my wormwood and the gall, my soul has them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to them that wait for him, and the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope quietly and wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear his yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone. Keep a silence, because he hath borne it unto him. He putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him, and full with reproach. The Lord will not cast off forever. Though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of man to crush under feet all the prisoners of the earth. Here's a man in despair. Here's a man that was hedged in. Here's a man that looked like everything was dark. I can't see anything. Here's a man that could not get a hold of God. There are moments in my life I can tell you that I will have spent hours reading this and get nothing. It's not the Bible, it's me. It just seems like the heavens are closed up shut. And I'll begin to sing songs to myself, to God. He still speaks. And I'll say, but God, I don't hear you. I'm trying to do everything revealed to my mind for my life. God, what is there? I don't want anything between my soul and my Savior. God, when you take us through valleys, what are you trying to do with me? How are you trying to correct me? Not God, are you trying to correct my wife, our kids, our grandkids? God, what are you trying to tell Jack Treiber? I've said it before, and you know what I've said so often, that the man in this church that gives me the most trouble is me. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. David said, I'm but a worm. When a man gets a true glimpse of Jesus through brokenness, he realizes how far away we are from him. And the closer we get to that light, the more the light of his grace shines upon the specks and the dirt and the filth of our life, and said, this must get right. Revival is not getting other people right, getting the church right, and getting the country right, and getting America back to God. Revival is where I draw a circle and jump in the middle, and God speaks to the one in the middle. He'll use so often that vehicle of brokenness. So what must I do? Well, he tells me here in verse 40. One, let us search and try our ways. Will you read that with me? Chapter 3, verse 40. to just what I read to the word ways. Ready? Begin. Let us search. Isn't that amazing? Let us search and try our mate. Let us search and try our kids. Let us search and try our parents. Let us search and find everybody else's problem. When I point at you and your sins and your problems, there are three crooked fingers coming right back to me. I can point all day long, but we need to look here. And we need to look here. Let us search our ways, my ways, Jack's ways, your ways. I want you to put your name, your first name, in there. Let us search and try our ways. Whose ways? 1, 2, 3, say it. And put your name in there. 1, 2, 3. I'll say my name. Let us search and try Jack's ways. You try your way. You try the ways you're going. Put it under the microscope. Examine your way. Search your ways. See what ways you're going. That great song on page 71, "Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I have lived a long life. I've never seen a revival. I've seen some special meetings. I've never seen a revival. I've read about them, where people just start getting right with God. And when we get right with God, we'll start to get right with one another. I told you some months ago, an old preacher many years ago, and revival wasn't happening in the meeting. He preached the first week and the second week. And he said, "I don't know what to do, folks." He said, "We're not having a revival." And a man stood while he was preaching and said, "We'll never have revival in this church. We'll never have revival until I get right with that man over there. And unless I get right with him, there'll never be revival." They met at the altar, got right with God and right with one another, and revival truly broke out in that little country church. I read recently of a preacher who in 1947, an evangelist, was preaching. And he had great meetings and he had great crowds and he had decisions. But it came to the point, he said, "I'm empty. I'm empty. God, I'm just empty. I'm so empty." That meeting that he was in was a bunch of evangelists and preachers. They were all preaching. He said, "God, I could stand and preach a message today, but it's emptiness. I don't have anything in there. I don't want it that way, but God, reveal to me why I'm so empty." And God began to deal with him as the man was preaching. And he came forward and he knelt and he said, "That's the reason. I was full of me. I had to empty myself of me." This was 1947, 71 years ago. And the man said, "The breath of God came back on my life." Oh, I tell you what, this week, like all 42 years I've been here, I've been up early every morning praying. I'm awake most nights praying and asking God, sometimes lying in bed there praying. I'm studying this book. But as I came to church today, I needed something. I know I needed something. My Sunday school class with my wife and I, it gave me something today. That choir, that opener, and then that choir number today, and the orchestra, and the organ, and the instrumentals, that gave me something today. And then that quartet, and then that duet, that solo, and then those kids singing, and that offertory today, that all, God was pouring something back in. He said, "I want us to, let us search our way." Secondly, he said, "I want us to Let us, verse 40, turn to the Lord. Let us search our ways and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us search our ways. Let us turn the Lord to the Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I have tried in my life. I want revival so badly, so desperately. I've been begging God, God, show me. Show me. These 42 years of my ministry, show me. What is it about me, God? Show me, please, show me. Help me. Oh, we have the big buildings and the big properties. We have scores of auditoriums and two gymnasiums and dining halls. God's been so good to us. But I can't help but think there's more. I'm not talking about more buildings. I'm not talking about necessarily more people, though I hope all that happens. I'm praying that there'd be more of God on me. I'm praying there'd be more of God on you and in your marriage and your home. We get serious with this. God, I have to turn to you, Lord. And sometimes when I turn, it seems like you set aside, you've set me aside as Jeremiah. Sometimes it seems like you close me in. Sometimes it just seems dark, I can't see anything. Sometimes I pray and it's like, it's just like bouncing off the ceiling. God, I'm not angry with you, you're still trying to break me. So full of pride and self-will, independence and arrogancy. God wants to bring us down to the lowest denominator. Why? Not that he hates us, but that we might be able to get right, thoroughly right with God. Let us search our ways. Let us turn to the Lord. Verse 41, let us lift our hearts and hands to him. Verse 41, let us lift our hands, our hearts, and our hands to God of heaven. What is that? That truly is humility. Saying, God, I'm empty. I'm lifting my heart to you. I'm lifting my hands to you. God, I don't know what to do. God, I don't know how I can get your power and your touch of my life. You're going to have to show. You're going to have to reveal. God, please, I'm deserving, yes. When was the last time you lifted your hands to God? Please, God, help me. And not just out of our problems, help us out of what is breaking the flow in the pipeline from here to there. There's a clog. We're done. The next verse, verse 42, we have transgressed and rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Let us search our ways. Let us turn to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to the Lord. And let us admit we've transgressed, we're wrong. I'm wrong. I've been looking at my life and looking at all that I'm trying to do and see that God do. And I said, God, I'm wrong here. I just moved forward when I should have waited. I'm wrong here when I did not move forward when I should have moved forward. God, I need you to help me. God will break us. But revival, I said this morning, is daily. As I look in the Bible, God took Abraham through the school of brokenness. He broke him repeatedly, even to the point in chapter 22 of laying his son on an altar to sacrifice him. Then God stopped him. You imagine the brokenness of a father, his only son. When he said, I want you to get up and I want you to move into a land that I tell thee, and he didn't tell him what the land, just get going. It was an 800-mile distance. He didn't know where he was going. But God just showed him. God dealt with them step by step, not the entire journey, just one day at a time until he arrived from the Ur of the Chaldees to what is called the Promised Land. Abraham was broke with hurt with his kids. I find that God broke Elijah at the brook Cherith, the cutting place. And it wound up in a swamp that was full of bugs and mosquitoes, undoubtedly because it dried up. And the ravens, which were the birds that hang out at the dump, the garbage, they brought him the food. Because God was breaking him for a purpose that it could be used by God. When he thought the breaking was over, then God says, okay, now I want you to go to Zarephath. That's a refining place you've been chipped away at, and now I'm going to refine you. And as I refine you, a widow is going to take care of you. I know you're supposed to take care of widows, but you talk about humiliating. But the next chapter, he called down fire from heaven. And the next chapter, he's back in brokenness with Jezebel and Ahab. Yes, Abraham was broken. Yes, Elijah was broken. Yes, Joseph, I don't need to go into all the story. I think you know how many times he was broken. But look how God used him to preserve his family. I think of the man by the name of Moses, who was broken here for 40 years, and then broken here for 40 years, and then broken here for 40 years. And it was a life of 120 years of brokenness. But oh, how God used him. I know David sinned with Bathsheba. It was his sin. It was his wrong. It was his fault. But God used that to break him. And he writes a Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy multitudes of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Some of you have done a very foolish thing. You have been unfaithful to your wife or unfaithful to your husband. And you wish you could rewind and have that moment back when you failed yourself and failed your marriage. You can't get it back. But God can, unfortunately, he can use that to break you, that you could be what he wants you to be. Some of it's drunk or drink or drugs or incarceration. And you battle that, and you battle that because you're so unworthy and so lousy and you're so no good. That's the devil, friend. God is not for the sin, but God can use the sin to break us down, that we can find and discover what his plan for our life is. That would bring all glory to him. I'm out of time. Revival's our only hope. The person sitting next to you, no, it is. It's for you. That's not for the people in the pews. Though it is, it's for the man in the pulpit. Let's stand together, shall we? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.